Jewish audio on Kabod.org.
This class is presented by Rabbi Leib Shapiro. Rabbi Leib Shapiro, a noted Talmudic scholar, is the dean of the Yeshiva Gedolah Rabbinical College of Greater Miami, the rabbi of Congregation Beis Menachem, and a community leader in Miami Beach, Florida.
Between Shiva Osar B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av, we start with a fast day. That's the day when Hufka Hayir, and we go on through Tisha B'Av, which is the day when the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. And these 21 days, these 3 weeks, are 3 weeks of mourning, when we mourn the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. And it says in Yerushalmi, Tainis Perik Dalet Alocha Hei, and also brought down in the Psichte to Eicha Rabo, and in Kehelis Rabo, and Rashi and Yirmi in the beginning says that these 3 weeks are hinted in the Nevuah of Yirmiya, in the first capital, Pasuk Yud Aleph, where it says that Hashem showed him Makel Shoket Ani Roye. I see a stick of Ammon. And it says there that Hashoket Hazeh, the Ammon, Mishasch Nitose, Ad Gmar Vishuloi, Esnim Ve'echad Yeim, from the beginning when it starts blossoming, till it ripe completely, takes 21 days, and it's the same amount of days between Shiva Osar B'Tammuz when Hufko Hayir, till Tisha B'Av when Boi Nisraf Habayis, that's when the Beis Hamikdash was burned. Now, B'Pashas it seems that the hint in this Pasuk to the 21 days is based on the number, being that they both are 21, so the hint that there is going to be a period of 21 days was hinted in the Makel Shoket, in the stick of Shkedim of Ammon, being that that also takes 21 days to grow. But since this is in Torah, and everything in the Torah is exact, there must be another reason why the Shoket was picked as a simen, why the Shkedim, the Ammon, were picked as a simen to the Bein HaMetzorah. So the explanation is, it says in Mishnayis, in Maisres, Perik Aleph, Mishnah Dalet, also we have in Chulun, Daf Chav Hei Amud Beis, that there are two types of Shkedim, two types of Ammon. One type is Shkedim Morim, bitter Shkedim, and another one is sweet Shkedim. The bitter Shkedim, they are sweet when they're small, and become bitter when they become bigger, and the sweet Shkedim are the opposite. When they're small, that's when they're bitter, and afterwards, when they are completely ripe, that's when they become sweet. That's the way Rabbi Negershin Chulun explains it. And it says in Svarim that when we use the term Shkedim Stam, without adding a title whether it's sweet or sour, usually we refer to the big ones, the sweet ones. Those that are sweet when they're small and they become sour or bitter when they are bigger, those are referred to usually as Luzim. But Shkedim Stam refer to those that are bitter when they are small and they become sweet when they become bigger. This is the reason why as a simen, as a hint, to the Bein HaMetzorim was given through the Shkedim. Because since Shkedim are bitter and they turn sweet, this is also the idea of the Bein HaMetzorim. That even though it is bitter, it is a time of mourning, a time of destruction. Nevertheless, the purpose is that this bitterness should turn into sweet. Because the whole kavanah, the whole purpose of the Churban Beis Hamikdash and of the Golus is in order for us to reach the time when Mashiach will come and we will have the Beis Hamikdash HaShlishi. Not only will we have the same Beis Hamikdash back, but also we will have a bigger and better Beis Hamikdash. The first and second Batei Mikdash, they were Batei Mikdash that were limited. They only stood for a certain amount of time. But the Beis Hamikdash HaShlishi, the third Beis Hamikdash, is going to be a Beis Hamikdash Nitzchi, an eternal Beis Hamikdash. Because as the Zohar says, the first and second Batei Mikdash, they were Binyono de Banash. They were the building of human beings. Even though it was through the commandment of Hashem, and it was Alpitoire, nevertheless, physically it was done through human beings. But the third Beis Hamikdash is going to be Binyono de Kutcha Brichu, the Binyan of Hashem. And when the Pasuk says, Mikdash Hashem, koinenu yodecho, the Mikdash of Hashem, your own hands established, your own hands made, that refers to the Beis Hamikdash HaShlishi. But in order to have that Beis Hamikdash HaShlishi, there had to be the churban of the first and second Beis Hamikdash, so then we are able to reach the level of the Beis Hamikdash HaShlishi. So it comes out that even though outwardly the reason for the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash was because the Eden sinned, and that's why they were chased out of the land, and that's why the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. But at the same time, there is something good that will come out. And that is that because we had the Churban Beis HaMikdash, that is why we will have even a greater Beis HaMikdash, which will be the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi. And this is similar to Golos Mitzrayim. We find by Golos Mitzrayim that one of the reasons why Hashem took the Yidden into Golos was in order to prepare them to Matan Torah. If not for the Golos, then they wouldn't be Kalim, they wouldn't be vessels fit to receive the Torah Bahar Sinai. And that's why in Yechezkel he refers to Golos Mitzrayim as the Kur HaBarzel, the furnace that purifies metal. Just like when you chop metal out of the mountain, or you chop gold or silver. So it comes along with dirt. And in order to purify it, you have to put it into the furnace. And that separates the bad from the good and purifies it in such a way that now it becomes a proper metal. So too with the Bnei Yisrael. In order for them to be able to reach the high level that they should be kalim to receive the Torah Bahar Sinai, there had to be the Golos Mitzrayim. And the same is with this Golos. In order for us to reach the level of Yemei HaMashiach, the time of Mashiach, when we will have the great spiritual revelation, and we will have the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi, for that we have to go through the Golos. So it comes out that the Golos, really, even though superficially it is a bad thing, nevertheless, from this bad and bitter thing, we will be able to reach a sweet thing, which we wouldn't have been able to reach if not for the bad thing. And there is a mashal given in Svarim to this. The mashal is of a Talmud who's sitting in front of his Rebbe, and his Rebbe is teaching him a lot of Torah, a lot of Chochmah. And the more he teaches him, the more he gets involved, the greater he feels, and the more enjoyment he gets in the Torah that he's learning. But in the middle, let's say, while the Rebbe is teaching him the Torah, there is a new thought that falls into the Rebbe's mind, which will explain the subject that they're learning much better and deeper than he explained it before. But the Rebbe has to develop it in his own mind. He just got the general idea, and he sees how through this idea, all the questions will be answered, and everything will be fine. But he has to sit down for a while to think it over and see how through this thought he will answer all the questions. So he tells his Talmud, you have to wait a while. I will have to sit down by myself. You will have to sit by yourself. And I will have to think over the idea that fell into my mind. And then I will get back to you and I'll give you over this deep idea that I just had in my mind. And the Rav goes away and sits by himself, and the Talmud remains by himself. Now the Talmud will start thinking, he will feel very bad, because till now he was learning with his Rebbe, he enjoyed the Chochmah that he was told, he enjoyed the wisdom that he was told, and he felt in a very, very high madrega. Now he feels as if he's in Golos. He's all by himself, his Rebbe is not teaching him, he is lonely, he feels bad. Then when the Rebbe comes back, and he gives him over the deep thought, and he told him that the only way I was able to teach you this is because there was a time when I left you. Then the Talmud realizes that all this was worth it. So even though at the time, while his Rebbe is not with him, he feels bad, he feels in Golos, and he really feels bad, and he should feel bad because he is not in the same level as he was before. Nevertheless, later on, he will realize that really all this was worth it. And the same is with the Golos. That while we are still in Golos, we have to mourn, and we have to feel that we are in Golos, we are chased away from our land, and we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, and that's the reason for all the halachas of mourning and fasting, etc. But at the same time, we have to realize that all this is worth it, so that when the Golos will be over, we will have the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi, we will have Mashiach, we will have the great spiritual revelation, which will be much greater than it was before. It says that when Mashiach will come, v'niglo kvod Hashem, the glory of Hashem will be revealed. The ro'u kol basar yavzeh tzipi Hashem dibur. All flesh will see that the words of Hashem spoke. There will be the true revelation and recognition of Hashem. Something that would not have happened if not for the Golos. If the Beis HaMikdash would have continued, we would have had it the same way as it was before, and that's how it would have gone on. Now that we have the Golos, and even throughout these thousands of years, do their avodas Hashem, serve Hashem during Golos, this will bring about this great revelation that will happen when Mashiach will come and when the third Beis HaMikdash will be built. It is true that while we are in Golos, we don't feel it. But at least in our mind, we have to have the proper bitachon and the proper emunah that the Beis HaMikdash will be built. And then we will look back and we will see that this Golos was worth it, even though it was a negative thing, nevertheless, this negative thing, this bitter thing, brings us to a very sweet thing. And then there is another point here. We could look at it from a different angle also, and also come to an understanding that the Golus really has a very, very positive thing in it. The marshal to it is, from a parent that gets angry at a child, and because of that, punishes the child. And the child is very upset. But when the child grows up and looks back, the child sees that really, it is only thanks to that punishment that the child receives from the parent, that's why the child turned out to be the way the child is. If not for that punishment, then the child would have continued the same way he did before, and he would have never changed. He would have never reached the level that he did reach after he grew up. So it comes out that after he grows up and he looks back at the day that he was punished, he says, this is the best day in my life. During the time that he is small and he doesn't realize that all this is in order for him to change and it's for his benefit, he is upset. But when he grows up and he sees the truth, then he looks back and he says, the best day of my life was the day when I was punished. And the same thing is with the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Even looking at it from the angle that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of our Aveda, and Hashem was angry at us, and that's why he punished us. But really, this is for our benefit. And that is the reason why it says that when Mashiach will come, all the fast days, especially Tisha B'Av, is going to be turned into a yontif. As the Rambam says, in the end of Hilchas Tainiyah, Kol HaTzoyim HaSo'elu HaSidim LiBotel LeMoit HaMashiach, all these fast days will be bottled when Mashiach will come, V'Loyoy. Not only that, Elo Shehem HaSidim LiYosh Yomim Toivim V'Yimei Sosim V'Simcha, they will be yontif, they will be happy days. Shenamar, he quotes the pasuk, Koyamar Hashem Tvoyes, Tzoyma Rvi, V'Tzoyma Chamishi, V'Tzoyma Shvi, V'Tzoyma Asiri, Yeh LeBeis Yehuda, LeSosin U'LeSimcha, LeMei Amoyadim Toivim. They will all be days of happiness. Now the question that's asked is, may let me say that when Mashiach will come, we won't fast anymore, they won't be sad days, we understand, because we will have the Beis HaMikdash. But why will those days be turned into happy days? Why will Tisha B'Av be a yontif? Why should it be a yontif? It won't be a sad day anymore because we will have the Beis HaMikdash. But why should it be a yontif? But the pshat is, it'll be a yontif because then, when we look back and see what happened on Tisha B'Av, we'll understand that this is the best thing that ever happened to us. Just like the child when he grows up and he looks back at the day he was punished, he says, this is the best day in my life. So too, at that time, we will realize that this was the best day. In other words, this was the day that Hashem really expressed his true love to the Am Yisrael. When we celebrate the Yontif, for instance, we celebrate Pesach. The meaning is that we celebrate a day Hashem performed miracles for us, which means that the day Hashem showed his love to us. And since we know that every year when the same day comes around, the same thing spiritually repeats itself, so that's the day Hashem shows his great love to us. The same is concerning Tisha B'Av. The day Hashem destroyed the Beis HaMikdash was really the day Hashem showed his great love to us. And it's self-understood, just like by a parent. The reason a parent gets angry at a child and punishes the child is only because the parent perhaps loves the child. If the same thing would be done by a stranger, not by his own child, he wouldn't get angry, wouldn't punish him, even if he would have the ability to do it, because he doesn't really care as much concerning a stranger than like his own child. Because he loves his own child, that's why he cares. So when Hashem expressed his anger, that itself is an expression of Hashem's love to the Bnei Yisrael. And the truth is, it's even a stronger expression of love than the expression when he performs a miracle. Just like in the mashal of a parent and a child, there are two ways a parent expresses the love. When the child is good and the parent brings the child a present, that's an expression of love. When the child is chas v'shalom bad and the parent punishes the child, it's also an expression of love. Now, concerning the child, one, he could see the love, the other one he can't. But concerning the parent, the love that's expressed in the punishment is a stronger one, because the love that's expressed there has to go against the nature of the parent. The nature of the parent is to be good to the child, not to chas v'shalom hurt the child. Nevertheless, because the parent loves the child so much, the love is so strong that it makes the father or the mother go against the nature and punish the child. When the parent gives the child a present because they love the child, that's not going against the nature. That's the nature of a parent. So we don't see how strong the love is that it even breaks through the boundaries of the nature of the parent. But when the parent punishes the child because he loves the child, then the love is so strong that it even breaks through the boundaries of the nature of the parent. The nature is only to do good to the child, And because of the love, in that case, the parent has to go against his own nature. And the same is with Hashem. When Hashem punished us and destroyed the Beis Hamikdash because he was angry at us, that is an expression of love. On one hand, at the time when this happens, we feel the pain. But on the other hand, we have to realize that afterwards we're going to see how this is really an expression of his love. Just like the child, while it hurts, he is angry and he feels the pain. But later on, when he grows up and he looks back and he wants to think, which was the day that my father really, really showed that he loves me? That was the day that he punished me. So when Mashiach will come and the Beis Hamikdash will be rebuilt, we will look back and we will see that really the best day of the year when Hashem showed his greatest love was on Tisha B'Av. So now we still have halachas of mourning because now we still feel the pain. So now we can't see how this is really an expression of love. We understand it in our mind, but we can't feel it. And therefore we have to mourn the Churban Beis Hamikdash. We have to feel bad about it. But we have to at least in our minds feel, realize that when Mashiach will come and we're going to look back, we'll say, oh, this was the best day. And that's why Tisha B'Av will be a yontif and it'll be the biggest yontif. Even bigger than Yetzias Mitzrayim, as we said before. And this explains an interesting thing. We find in Svarim, brought down in the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch, Ha'irachayim, Simen Tov, Chof Ches, the remez in the letters of the Aleph Beis, At Vash, that the first letter and the last letter have a connection, the Aleph to the Tov, the Beis, the Shin, the Gimel to the Resh, etc. And it says, if you want to know which day of the week certain things will happen, we could figure it out for this Chesh. Aleph Beis, Gimel, Dalet, etc. refer to the days of Pesach. Aleph is the first day of Pesach. So when we know which day of the week the first day of Pesach was, then we should know the Tov is Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av will always be the same day as the first day of Pesach. Bash, the Bay is the second day of Pesach. So if we know that, we will know when the Shin will be Shin is Shavuos. Gad, the third day of Pesach, we will know when the Reish, which is Rosh Hashanah. But it seems interesting that Aleph and Tov, the first day of Pesach, has a connection to the Tov to Tisha B'Av. What is the connection? They seem to be complete opposite. Aleph, which is the first day of Pesach, represents Geula, and the Tov, which is Tisha B'Av, represents Golus. The truth is the way it is now and the way we feel it, and the way the halacha is, that is true. But in essence, when we look deeper, and when we look what will happen with Asif Lavai, we will see that Tisha B'Av really is the day that Hashem expressed his love to us, like at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and even more. And that's why the remez is that the first day of Pesach is connected to Tov to Tisha B'Av, because when Mashiach will come, Tisha B'Av will be a yontev, even a greater yontev than Yetzias Mitzrayim. And the reason for that is because as much as Hashem showed his love to us on the first day of Pesach, on Tisha B'Av he showed even more. That's why Tisha B'Av.